Father, for the good service this morning. Man, it's been good to be here. Hope you can try to get this thing on. Hope you feel the same way. Amen. We're going to go to Matthew, the 12th chapter this morning. And just a few small thoughts to help us along. We do have an enemy, and he does not want us to live in victory. The devil wants us to live in defeat. He wants us to live in the chains that Brother Caleb was singing about of defeat, the chains of the filthiness of the flesh and of sin. And he wants us to live in a way that he wants us to live so that we have nothing to offer to somebody who wants to be free from their sin. That's how he wants us to live.
Right.
But Jesus came to give us something different. And we're going to read about this a little bit in Matthew 12 chapter, but I want us to understand that the devil, our enemy, wants to hold us down. He wants to hold us back. He wants us to live in defeat, but Jesus gives victory.
Amen.
Jesus gives victory. Matthew the 12th chapter and verse 9 says, "And when he was departed thence, he went to their synagogue." And their synagogue was their religious center, the place where they met to worship God. "And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him?" Now, you see, even though these people were religious, even though they were seemingly doing what they thought was right to serve God, they had lost their focus, they had lost their vision, they had lost what it meant for God to move and God to change things. All they were worried about was trapping Jesus. They didn't have any mercy or kindness about the man with the withered hand and asking God to help him. They were worried about trapping Jesus.
Right.
And just because we're religious or just because we have a system of religion doesn't mean that we're focused on the right thing.
That's true.
Doesn't mean that we're looking at things in the correct way.
Amen.
And what they should have been doing was saying, you know what? Man, you're here at the temple where God is. You're here at the synagogue where God meets with us. And you've got a problem. You've got a need. Let's bring you before God and see if he'll heal your withered hand. All they could think about, though, was what? How can we trap Jesus?
Right.
Here he is in our synagogue. We've got him now. We're going to get rid of him now. We're going to do him in now. But Jesus had something different in mind, didn't he? And he said unto them, "What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out?" So Jesus turned the tables on them and said, "Look, you want to trap me on healing a man on the Sabbath day, but look at you and your hypocrisy." He says, "What one of you, if you have a sheep and it falls in a pit on the Sabbath day, you don't go out there and get it, so Monday you still have a sheep." And so Jesus understood what was happening with these people. He understood how the devil was blinding them, where they could not see that there was victory and healing and deliverance in the gospel plan. All they could see was the old law and the hindrance and the chains that held people back with that. Come on, if I was that man with a withered hand, I'd say, you know what, you guys don't have a thing for me. I'm not ever coming back. But you know what? Jesus did have something for that man.
Thank God. Amen.
Kind of getting ahead of myself here. Verse 12. "How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath days?" Then saith he to the man, "Stretch forth thine hand." And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. Jesus had compassion. Jesus had mercy. Jesus cared about that man. He said, "Isn't a man better than a sheep?"
Yes.
You care about the sheep.
Right.
You care about, you know, some people care more about their dog than they do their neighbor. You know, some people care more about their goldfish than they do the man across the street. And God help us to understand that with Jesus there's mercy and there's compassion and there's love and there's forgiveness. And Jesus saw this man with a need. He saw the man with the withered hand. And all he could think about was, we got to get this man healed. We've got to find a way for this man to be made whole again. But even though there was hindrance, even though the religious people of the day were hindering him, Jesus still showed that compassion and that tender mercy. and healed that man with the withered hand. Verse 14 says, and the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Jesus said, you know what? You Pharisees can go on with your religious system. Right. You can go on with your church services. You can go on with your synagogue. And you can go on with your temple and your sacrifices. I'm coming over here. And all the people followed Jesus, and he healed them. The needs were met. We can let our religion get in the way of getting people's needs met. Not, that's not the message this morning, but we need to be careful that we don't allow our religious ideas and our religious systems to get in the way of letting Jesus meet people's needs.
That's right. Amen.
God help us to understand that Jesus has mercy. He has compassion.
Amen.
He has forgiveness, and he has healing for the needs around us.
Amen.
And charge them that they should not make it known, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive, nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break,
Amen.
And smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And the thought that I want to break in on this morning is that with Jesus, there's victory. We may feel like sometimes we're that bruised reed. Sometimes we'll feel like we're that smoking flax. And what that's showing is a sign of weakness, reed that's bruised and about to break in half. We're that flax that just can't quite catch fire. Sometimes we feel that way, don't we? We're in the middle of a battle. We're in the middle of a trial. Or maybe we've made mistakes. Maybe we've failed. Maybe we've stumbled. Maybe we've fallen. Maybe we've done something out of just plain ignorance. Or maybe we've done something out of our own stupidity. Oh, Brother Ryan, how can you say that? Because sometimes we do, don't we?
Yes.
Sometimes we do stupid things. We're not thinking. And sometimes we'll find ourselves in trials. We'll find our hearts places. Sorry, I can't even talk. Find our self in hard places, and find ourselves in a place where we just we're on the mercy of God. And instead of listening to the devil, because what's the devil going to do? He's going to treat you like the Pharisees did. He's going to say, look, there's no hope for you. There, you just need to come here and you just need to be told how wrong you are. And you just need to listen to me and I'll beat you down some more. That's how the devil works. But God has sent Jesus to help us. Amen. It says, the bruised reed and the smoking flax shall he not quench. I'm sorry, the bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. No matter how much we've messed up, no matter what kind of decisions that we've made that were wrong, no matter what kind of situation that we find ourselves in, there is always help and healing and hope through Jesus Christ. Amen. Man's religious systems do not always offer hope. Man's religion does not always offer you help. There are some religions that teach you penance in one form or another. The only way that you can be right is by paying money to the church or paying penance to a man or confessing to a man or something like that. But with God, there's hope.
Yes.
Amen. With God, there's help. And with God, there's healing. Amen. And sometimes we can even get to the place where we've convinced ourselves that we don't deserve God to help us. Amen. That we don't deserve, we've been so bad or we've done so much that God just can't help us. We have to live with what we are. But I'm telling you right now, Jesus came to bring some victory to you and to me. These people needed victory in their lives. That man needed a healing on his hand. And he wasn't finding it in a religious system. He wasn't finding it among the religious people, but he found it with Jesus Christ. Amen. It says, a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto what? Victory. What is victory? It's triumph, isn't it? Victory is triumph over whatever it is that you are facing and whatever it is that you are battling, whatever it is in your life that you can't seem to conquer. There is victory, there is triumph through Jesus Christ. And He's not going to abuse you into it. He's not going to beat you into victory. He's not going to kick you into victory. But He is going to lead you along, and He's going to bring you along and into a place of victory.
Amen.
Amen. But the devil does the opposite. Amen. The devil will beat you and abuse you and kick you and tell you you can't win. You can't be triumphant, and there's no hope for you. You can't do any better, and there's nothing else for you. But Jesus has something different.
Yes.
It says, a bruised reed shall He not break, and a smoking flax shall He not quench. Verse 21 says, and in His name shall the Gentiles trust. Then was brought unto Him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and He healed him. Insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. Impossible things with man. But these people needed victory. These people needed help. And they found it through Jesus Christ. Amen. You will not find your victory in just being religious. You will not find your victory in doing penance.
Amen.
You will not find your victory in abusing yourself or punishing yourself. Your victory only comes through the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. You cannot punish yourself.
Amen.
and ask and receive a blessing.
That's right.
Come on. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I shall repay.
Right.
Come on, you say, oh, I've been so bad, and I've done so much, and I've messed up so bad. You punishing yourself will not bring the victory.
Amen.
Amen. Only Jesus can bring you victory.
Right.
The place to get the victory is to allow Him to lead you along and bring you along and come to the place where He wants you to be. No matter what kind of opposition we face, whether it's from the outside or whether it's from ourselves, Jesus came to help us to have victory in our life. I want to go back to that thought that we can hinder ourselves in receiving the victory that God has for us. Do you know that when God forgives you, your sins are cast into the sea of forgetfulness?
Yes, thank God.
As far as the east is from the west, never to be mentioned again. So what good does it do for you to dwell on your mistakes or dwell on the past that God has forgiven you for?
Right. No.
What good does it do for you to dwell on that? What good does it do for you to punish yourself for that? What good does it do for you to live in that past when God has gentle mercy and kindness and forgiveness for you so He can heal you and bring you past that? It doesn't do you any good, does it?
Amen. Amen.
But yet we think sometimes that by dwelling on those things and punishing ourselves for our past sins, or punishing ourselves for our mistakes, or punishing ourselves for our bad decisions, or doing our, you know, making sure that we're properly castigated because of what we've done, it doesn't do us any good. It doesn't help us to live in victory. It only helps us to live in defeat.
That's right.
And when, I guess I'm not, I need to make my thoughts more time together a little better here. When God forgives us, when Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest.
Right.
When He says, I will freely forgive you.
Yes.
He didn't bring that to us so that we could live under Him anymore. He brought that forgiveness to us so that we could be free and be healed of what it was that we were bound in.
Amen. Amen.
God is full of compassion.
Yes.
And He's full of mercy. I think sometimes, though, we do like to continue to, as humans, we like to make ourselves feel bad so that we have an excuse about some things. But God doesn't want excuses. He's here to take away excuses.
Amen.
He's here to heal us from the binding power of sin.
Amen.
When we want, I guess there's an attitude of self-martyrdom that people like to live in. But living in that attitude and living with that kind of thinking will not produce victory in your life. It will not help you to get past the things that you need God to heal you from. Amen. Some people need healed from sin. Some people need healed from certain attitudes. Some people need healed from some physical ailments. Some people need healed from ways of thinking and ideas and things like that. But Jesus will gently bring you along. He's not going to abuse you into it and beat you into it. But with His tender mercy and His tender compassion, He'll forgive you and heal you and give you whatever you need to be made whole. But when we like to live in that condition,
right,
we'll never obtain the victory and the healing that He has for us. Some people like to live in the excuse mode. Some people like to live, well, this is the way I've been all my life, and I just can't help it. This is the way I was raised, and this is how I am, and you know, I was this as a child, and this happened to me, and that happened to me. But Jesus has healing.
Amen.
And He'll help you past that,
yes,
if you'll allow Him to.
Amen.
Psalms 86 and 15 says, "But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth."
Amen.
God has forgiveness and compassion and mercy for us. And He wants to bring us past the things that would hold us back. And He wants to help to heal us from those things.
Amen.
Now the devil's going to tell you, oh, well, you're stuck here. There's no hope for you here. This is where you're at for the rest of your life. And if you're lucky, you'll just make heaven barely. That's what the devil tells you. But God has something better. Amen. You see how Jesus went to these people? He went right to them and showed mercy and compassion and forgiveness right in the middle of the hardest opposition that He was going to face. His hardest opposition was the religious people of His day. He came to His own, and His own received Him not, is what the Bible says. And they opposed Him, and they fought Him, and they tried to make the people cast Him out, and they called Him Beelzebub, and they called Him a drunkard, and they called Him a glutton and a wine bibber, and they did all kinds of nasty things to Him. And finally, they crucified Him. But in the middle of that opposition to Himself, He showed mercy and He showed compassion. Amen. He showed forgiveness and love. God is doing the same with us. Don't let the devil tell you that you have to be punished for the rest of your life, and that you have to live underneath this galling yoke for the rest of your life, and there's no hope for you for the rest of your life. God has healing, and God has mercy, and God has forgiveness. Amen. Why do you think God only forgives halfway? He only says, well, I'll forgive you half your sins, the other half I can't do anything about. No, He doesn't. Amen. God is full of mercy and full of compassion and full of graciousness and long-suffering. And He does not want you to fail. He wants to give you what you need. Jesus is a help to all who come to Him. Some people feel like to get in order to get help that they have to be punished. They have to be abused. They have to be kicked around or to pay for their sin or pay for their mistake or pay for their discrepancy or whatever. But don't you know that Jesus already paid that debt?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Jesus already paid that debt. Jesus already went to the cross for you for your sin.
Amen.
Amen. You being punished for it now does no good. You living underneath that galling yoke of oppression and that galling yoke of accusation and that galling yoke of depression does you and nobody else any good.
Amen.
It makes you incapable of working for God in the way that He would have you to work. And so when Jesus comes and He forgives, He's lifting off that yoke of abuse and that yoke of oppression, that yoke of depression, that thing that would the devil would love to just hold you down with. God removes that. And we already quoted this, Matt, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And He says, "Take my yoke upon you."
Amen.
Take my yoke upon you. and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. When God saves, when God forgives, it's through compassion, and it's through mercy, and it's through tenderness, and it's through love. He's here to help. Do you know God sent him in place of his wrath? God was angry with man. Oh, God was angry because man had turned their back and gone to sin, and they had turned their face against God and were doing whatever that they wanted and however they felt. There was murder and there was lying and there was cheating and stealing and every kind of sin that we can think of. And God said, I've got to do something besides destroy them. I'll send my son to take their punishment. And Jesus was sent to intercede for us. Jesus was sent to bring love to us and mercy and forgiveness. And he's still there to intercede on our behalf. Our enemy, the enemy of our soul, wants us to feel like the only way to get what we need from God is to live in slavery or live in the mud or to be beat down and be depressed. But God has victory. Jesus brings victory. Amen. He didn't come to give us, what's the scripture says? He came to give us life and life more abundant. Amen. Not depression and oppression and the blues and everything else. He came to bring us something so much better than that. Amen. And he's there to intercede on our behalf so that we can live a life that God is pleased with. He's there praying to the Father for us. He's there holding us up before God, saying, Lord, have mercy, help them. You see the need that they have. Lord, they need healing. They need encouragement. They need grace for this trial. They need forgiveness or whatever it is that we need. Jesus is there interceding to the Father on our behalf. Hebrews, the fourth chapter, will help us to understand this a little bit. Hebrews 4 and verse 12 says, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow. Amen. And is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So the word of God comes to us and it finds us out, doesn't it?
Sure. Amen.
And the Bible says here, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God sees it all.
Amen.
He knows it all. He knows right. The very thoughts and the intents of the heart, the Bible tells us. He says he tries our spirit. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed from the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession.
Yes.
We don't need to give up just because the word comes to us and it shows us stuff about ourselves. We don't need to give up because God has seen something in us that needs to be corrected. We don't need to say, oh, I just can't do it anymore because the message came and sat on our doorstep.
Sure.
It says, no, we have Jesus,
Amen.
The Son of God, who was sent for us. Let's hold fast our profession.
Amen.
For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So everything that we feel, everything that we're going through, everything that we felt the impact of in our life and in our emotion and in our feelings and our spirit, he has already felt it and he's already experienced it and he already knows it and he's there interceding to God
Amen.
On our behalf. You say, oh, Brother Ryan, I've messed up. I feel like the only way I can make myself feel better is to punish myself and to be bad or to make myself feel bad I don't know what the word is where you castigate yourself and you put restrictions on yourself so you can't be happy. And I know there's a word for it, but I can't think of it right now. But those things do not produce victory in your life. You know that it'll only last so long before you go back to your failure again. But if you give it to Jesus and let Him heal you of it, if you will let Him tenderly and compassionately bring you along and teach you and help you to understand there is victory with Him, you can live in victory.
Amen.
Amen. You can live in victory.
Amen.
Let me ask you this. When you were a child and you got in trouble and you got a spanking for it, did it do good for you to go back the next day? Even though you didn't do it again, would it have done any good for you to go back again the next day and get another spanking? And then the day after that to get another one? And then the day after, all for the same thing? What would it have done? It would have bred resentment in you, right? It would have bred discouragement in you. It would have bred hatred in you and rebellion in you. But yet, sometimes as adults, we do that to ourselves. We think because we failed here, or we messed up here, or we didn't do something right here, that we have to go back and punish ourselves time and time and time and time again. But that does us no good. And all it does is discourage us and keep us from living for in the way that God would have us to live.
Yeah.
And so as God forgives us, and God heals us, and He helps us to move. He will help us to move past that point in our life,
yes,
and to live in a way of victory.
Amen.
He's not here to beat us down. He didn't send Jesus to kick us around and to abuse us and to keep punishing us.
Right.
But the Bible says He sent His only Son, what, to die,
right,
so that we didn't have to perish. Wow. He took the punishment for us. Why do we have to continue to live in the punishment? We don't have to.
Amen.
We don't have to. We don't have to continue to live in that state of perpetual beating ourselves down. Because the bruised reed, He won't break.
Amen.
And the smoking flax, He won't quench. But He brings it out to victory.
Yes.
Amen. We can have victory in our life. Verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need.
Amen.
Saints, we will have times of need. We will have times of need when we need to seek God. When we are that bruised reed, when we are that smoking flax, when we have made mistakes, or when we have lapses in judgment, or even if we have failed in sin, we still need to come,
amen,
to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And boldly approach that throne of grace and find the help. Not the abuse.
Amen.
Not the kicking around, and not the things that would push us back down, but find the help,
amen,
that we have need of. Jesus is there to help us. The devil doesn't want us to come to God. The devil doesn't want us to seek God for our needs. He doesn't want us to beseech Him for our healings. Amen. He came to heal the soul, the mind, and the body.
Amen.
He doesn't want us to beseech Him for the healing. He doesn't want us to get on our knees and ask God for His help.
Amen.
He wants us to feel like we're too much of a failure. Like there's nothing we can ever do to change. Like that's just the way we'll always have to be. But I tell you what, God has something better,
yes,
and something different for His people.
Amen.
Amen. See, if the devil can't get you to just go back to the drugs and the alcohol and the lusting and the fornication and all that, he's going to try to get you another way. He's going to try to get you just to fail on God and not be what God wants you to be. And so we have to realize that if the devil doesn't want us to do something, there must be something good about it. If he doesn't want us to get to God and pray and beseech God and seek Him for our needs and ask Him for His healing for our soul, our mind, our body, our situation, then it must be a good thing if he doesn't want us to do it. He wants us to feel like we don't deserve anything from God. And if you want to use the word terminology that way, we don't deserve anything. But what we have is the promise of a Savior. The promise of God. The promise of Jesus Christ. He said, come unto me. all ye that labor and are heavy laden. The devil wants to do all he can to discourage us in seeking for his mercy and seeking for his compassion. You know, Jesus does not abuse people that come to him. Now, some people feel like that's the only way that they can get right is to come and be abused. That's a sad, sad situation, a sad mentality to have. But Jesus does not abuse those that come to him.
Amen.
Jesus does not abuse those that have needs.
Amen.
Jesus is full of tender compassion and mercy. And Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When you see a person who claims to be a spokesperson for God or a spokesperson for Jesus, and they have to abuse you to make you feel like you got right with God, you better have a warning about yourself. Say, look, something's not right here, because this is not how God treats people. This is not how Jesus came.
Amen.
He took the punishment for me.
Yes.
And he wants to give me forgiveness. Micah 7 and 18 says, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy.
Yes.
God delights in mercy.
Amen.
Another scripture says that mercy rejoiceth against judgment.
Yes.
Yeah. He will turn again. He will have compassion on us.
Thank you, Father.
He will subdue our iniquities.
Amen.
And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob.
Yes.
And the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. Amen. Don't hold back because you feel like the devil's telling you that God is going to punish you. Come to Jesus. Amen. Confess the fault. Confess the sin. Confess the shortcoming. Confess what it is that you need to confess and ask for God's healing. Ask for God's help. Ask for his forgiveness. Amen. And he will show mercy and he will abundantly pardon. It tells us in another scripture. God is full of mercy, full of compassion. But the devil wants us to feel like that we have to be abused to get things right with God. That's not the case. We don't have to live a life of punishment and live a life of being beat down and live a life of always having to go back and tell God you're sorry again, 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 again for the same thing. God has a life of victory for us. Our last scripture, Psalms 145. Psalms 145. And verse 8 says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion.
Thank you, Father.
Slow to anger.
Bless the Lord.
And of great mercy. Then what's it say next? The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Don't let the devil tell you otherwise. Don't let the devil hold you back in a life of you feel like you have to be punished for your past. Don't let the devil keep you pushed down because you've made a couple mistakes here and there. But get the victory through Jesus Christ. Amen. Find out that God has something better for you than what the devil did. You know how the devil treated you in sin? The Bible likens him to Pharaoh, the old taskmaster. How he held you down and held you down. Every time you tried to do something right and tried to change things and do something good, he'd drag you right back down into it. He'd drag you right back down into the mud. He hasn't changed. Even though you've got saved, the devil hasn't changed. He still wants to drag you back down and beat you back down. But God has something better. Jesus is interceding for us. Amen. And God is full of tender mercy and compassion and love for his children. All right, those are the thoughts I had for you this morning. We don't have to live a life of being abused and oppressed and pushed down, but we can live lives of victory through Jesus Christ. All right.